The Perimeter with Adam Morrison is proudly presented by Owens Farms Piedmontese.
Let me share a local Spokane secret that everyone needs to know about. Owens Farms Piedmontese beef. Trust me when I say this. You cannot beat this meat. It's tender. It's flavorful. It's some of the best beef you'll ever put into your mouth, period. And to top it off, when you eat it, you can say goodbye to the meat hangovers. That's because Piedmontese beef is lean and has much less cholesterol than your typical supermarket beef. It's a new year. It's time to start living your life with no regrets. Go to ofp.farm to reserve your half or whole order of premium Piedmontese beef today. There's only a limited amount of Owens Farms Piedmontese beef available, so make sure you don't miss out. Go to ofp.farm today.
The Perimeter with Adam Morrison is produced independently and locally in Spokane, Washington by Spokecast Studios. Our city, our stories. Visit www.spokecast.com to learn more about how you can start your very own podcast today. Thank you to Jinx Universe and Position Music for letting The Perimeter use the song Let's Do It Again from Jinx's album, Make It Look Good.
The Perimeter with Adam Morrison is brought to you in sponsorship with Delicious Hamburgers. Did you know Delicious Hamburgers and fries are the freshest in Spokane? Their hamburgers are never frozen, and that's because it tastes better. There's not even a freezer in the restaurant. Their fries are always made to order and never set under a heat lamp. It's differences like this you can truly taste. Next time you're craving the freshest hamburgers and fries, head to the corner of Augusta and Division and ask for the Perimeter Combo, a triple delicious hamburger with grilled onions, pickles, and special sauce. It also comes with fries and your choice of a milkshake. Delicious. Taste the difference.
Let me introduce you to the Spokane Workers Co-op, a locally based worker-owned holding company whose mission it is to increase access to living wages, workplace democracy, and autonomy, and to create the sort of lifelong career trajectories that are increasingly uncommon for the majority of people in America. The worker owners of SWC, regardless of which business they work, are equal co-owners of the entire holding company, providing them not just direct ownership of the fruits of their own labor, but ownership in a diversified and resilient portfolio of businesses dedicated to serving Spokane and the Inland Northwest. SWC also buys traditional businesses. SWC buys traditional businesses like LLCs, partnerships, and sole proprietorships, for example, from owners who are ready to retire and who want to make sure the employees who help them build their business are taken care of after the owner leaves. Learn more at www.spokane.coop. And if you're an owner interested in talking about selling, email SWC at team@spokane.coop. That is team@spokane.coop.
Let's do it again!
Welcome to The Perimeter, Season 2, Week 14, sponsored by Owens Farms Piedmontese. I got Brennan, the producer, here. Great week, nervous week for Gonzaga basketball. Two home games, great win against San Francisco, and then a nail-biter, one of the better games this season against BYU. Obviously, we'll get into that. Appreciate you taking the time today. You got heading out on a little family vacation. Is that what you were?
Yeah, I'm going to Hawaii. Going to Maui. Gonna go chill out for a week and
Are you the type of family when you go? Do you do a lot of stuff? Obviously, you have kids.
Yeah.
Two young kids, but do you go? Were you hammered? Do you go, all right, we're gonna do like one thing a day and then mom and dad kind of want to sit on the beach? You know what I'm saying? But yeah. Relax.
Yeah, we like already prepped the kids. Like we like to read when we go to Hawaii on the beach. Mm-hmm. So we'll like read. My kids are of the age where they're reading more and they're excited about reading on the beach. But yeah, we'll do some family activities. I think we're gonna go like I was gonna say scuba diving. We're not going scuba diving. We're gonna go do some you know, look at fishes, go to aquarium
and all that
stuff.
Yeah,
it's going to be fun. So cool, man. Be fun to get out of the, but we're having fake spring here in Spokane.
I know. It always happens this way. And I'm just waiting for the next week forecast to say snow or 25 degrees, but
right.
It's always the like, oh, we're out of it finally.
And, yeah.
But anyway, it is nice to see the sun.
Yeah.
But you're obviously heading to the best place, but
yeah.
So I appreciate you hammering this before you got to get on the flight, and
no problem at all.
But yeah, like it was like I opened the show with, it was a good week for Gonzaga. That San Francisco game coming in was interesting for the fact, obviously it was the first road game we played down there for West Coast Conference, and we ended up winning with a tip in at the buzzer. And they were picked to finish third this year and kind of had a really third in the West Coast Conference.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of had a bad year. I mean, they're 4-8 in conference and 15-12 overall and just can't figure out how to get consistency. They're very talented on the wing with Shabazz and then the kid Roberts, the transfer from Washington State. But for whatever reason, they just can't seem to play any defense and get anything going. But like I said, we played them down there, and we were down 12 at one point in that game and then climbed back. That's the game that Drew Timmy went 3-16, and Rashier hit two big threes down the stretch and then had that tip in kind of at the buzzer. Well, not at the buzzer, about 4 seconds left, and then, to go up two, and then they came down and didn't get a shot off. But so I was interested to see what type of game was going to transpire, and I mean that by – a lot of times, teams are not playing great, but if their matchup is different or their flow game is similar to ours, sometimes we get into a track meet where, we don't really hammer at the defensive end. And,
and
another note going into that game, we were minus 19 on the glass, which is an insane number down there in San Francisco. So it was like, all right, we're going to take care of the glass. And then, obviously we like to get up and down and they like to get up and down, but are we going to like try to lock down and play some defense? And I thought our guys did an excellent job of doing exactly just that. Scored 60 in the first. I mean, we was just an absolute track meet. We're making everything that we threw up. We're playing with great energy. I thought Drew came out with a lot of thrust towards the rim. And I know it sounds funny, but he's much better when he catches and goes right away instead of wait all the time. Like, you got to mix it up. But instead of waiting for the defense to get set, the help to get set, I think when he gets those high post catches and he rips and goes against slower defenders, he was really effective. He was doing that early, and we scored 60 in the first half and held them to 40. And I think the game was kind of in cruise control after that. I mean, obviously, they win by two in the second half, but it didn't really matter. We got Drew off the floor. he only played 20 minutes, 8 of 11, 21 points. Anton Watson was another great game with 15 and 10. 6-10 from the field, but we got Drew completely off the floor with I think he came out after the first media timeout, which is the under 16, and he never came back in.
Yeah.
It was kind of interesting how usually you don't do that, especially with your seniors and your stars. And even if you're in cruise control, it wasn't like we were up 35, it's like one of and it's one of those teams that shoots a lot of threes so they could have an opportunity to come back. But I think Coach V was obviously trying to save him for the game that we're going to talk about next, is the BYU game. But he looked fresh. He looked concise, like I said, thrust towards the rim. All that stuff sounds cliche, but there's been some games this year where, if you're going to be frank and honest, and you can kind of hear the chatter. It's like, man, Drew looks tired sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Not in a bad way. Like he's messing around or anything. It was just like maybe he's playing too many minutes, or maybe there's chances where we need to get him off the floor. And it's not like you cut his minutes by 10. And he's just like, well, if he's playing 38, let's get him to 35. And you can stretch that to where it goes real time rest instead of just minutes on the floor.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? So you combine it in with the TV timeouts, and then he's only off the floor for a minute, but then it's right before the TV timeout, and then it turns into five, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what a lot of coaches try to do. And, it's a smart way to do it. But like I said, I thought he looked great, and that was a perfect game for us going into BYU. We wanted to be confident. We wanted to be, letting it rip. We ended up winning that game by 18 points, 99-81. Everybody got a good run. I thought Ben Gregg played good off the bench. He was 3-6. Hunter Silas was fantastic with 13 points in 17 minutes, 3-5, 6-6 from the free throw line. He had to sit out. I felt bad when he hit that if that like you didn't get a concussion, but when you go down and get hit in the head like that, mm-hmm. he's had so many weird spots this year where he gets like dinged up a little bit, and I feel bad because I thought he's played fantastic this season. I floated it on our broadcast, but it's going to be something I'll talk about at the end of this season for the show. Is looking ahead to next year, is like there's going to be a log jam out on the perimeter. Obviously, we don't know what Julian's going to do. You know, even Malachi, you know, wants to be an NBA player, and he went to the draft thing, so we don't know if he's going to, you know what I mean? But like mm-hmm. Hunter Silas has played good enough to like play more than 17, 18 minutes a night.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So then there's going to be one of those where you're like, there's a log jam literally on the perimeter. So again, that's a topic that I could get into, but the reason why I mentioned that is he has 13 points in only 17 minutes, and he's really starting to make, you know, three-pointers, not in bulk, but if you look at his line, he shoots about like less than one a game, but he's at 33%, so he's not terrible. He's mm-hmm. 1-for-3, essentially. And then he always makes these little pull-ups and these little, you know, backdoor cuts and stuff like that. So, like, he's shown that he can function and function at a high level in games. Obviously, they've been shorter minutes, but it's like, if you're him and then you're his family, like, you got to play more than 17 minutes next year. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
He's gonna be a junior. So mm-hmm. it'll be an interesting topic, but he's played fantastic this year. Like I said, I'll get into that kind of end of the year wrap up, my theories for going into the next season and all that stuff. I think that's something that fans like to ponder, and it's something that I like to talk about. And then hopefully I can bring up some different issues that people might not see on the surface. Mm-hmm. But like I said, it was a fantastic game going into the BYU game. There's always a chance for trap games. You know what I mean? I know that sounds cliche, but it's a real thing, especially with 18 to 22-year-olds looking ahead or taking a team lightly. But luckily for us, we barely beat them at their place, so our ears were perked up and, mm-hmm. you know, wide-eyed, bushy-tailed and all that stuff, yeah. and we're ready to go. And so I was pleased with their energy and effort, and, you know, we were lucky that we got a loss from St. Mary's from LMU. And so the week before, or the last game before, so we were at, right? Or was it that same night? No, it was the same night then. Yeah. Same night. So then, we were one game behind. So then it's really puts the onus on us to like hold serve, but puts a lot of pressure on them as well to not lose another game going into that last regular season mm-hmm. WCC home game coming up. So yeah, it was just a great effort, and it was cool seeing that scoreline afterwards, and everybody's like, yes, all right, we're back into this thing. And you know, so going into Saturday, BYU's had an interesting year. You know, I feel kind of bad for them in the sense, like, if they just won some of these previous games that they've had a chance to, that they'd be like considered a tournament team, like, for sure.
Yeah.
Like, they lost to us at their place when we were ranked higher, obviously. Mm-hmm. They had a really good win against Creighton early in the season, but like, they get a few more stops against us. We make three threes in the last like 2 minutes against them and steal one. Mm-hmm. Same thing with St. Mary's. Mahaney hits an 18-foot fadeaway jumper and with a hand in his face.
Yeah.
They lose that game. And then this game that I'm about ready to get into, like, you obviously go to the games and watch them, like, and you know enough basketball to feel like, don't you feel like for probably 35 minutes of that game, they controlled the tempo and the pace and the, you know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, 100%.
They were in control of the mm-hmm. game. It's not like we were playing bad, but it's like, oh, they're playing at their pace. They're playing at their tempo. They're getting the shots that they want. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? It's not like, you know what I mean? So like, and then we, you know, I'll get into the game, but in a sense, then you look up when we win, it's like, wow, this team is, it's a game of inches. And I know it's a football term, but it's so true. Like, if they can get more stops and have some more balls bounce their way and make free throws, mm-hmm. like, this team would be dramatically different record wise. They're 6-7. You can argue that they could be, like 9-4
mm-hmm. easily
in
yeah.
conference, and with three wins against, two against Gonzaga and one against St. Mary's with a game to play at St. Mary's, you'd be like, this is an NCAA tournament team.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? So, I thought we started the game off good. You know, we came out with a ton of energy. We didn't in the last game at Provo down there. So, you know, obviously I was again, that's always something that you always look for is like, okay, energy, guys, we got to have energy. I thought the crowd was good to start. The student section was fantastic. Mm-hmm. Last time we'll ever play them, I keep saying them, like, there's no reason we'll ever do it unless we join the Big 12, and that's another discussion, which they're going to for sure. Mm-hmm. We're not going to play. We're not going to do a home and home with that.
No, we're not club. Going to.
You know,
no.
It's just so like, it's the last time we're going to play them unless we change conferences. you know, so I thought the start of the game was, you know, fantastic for us. We were, you know, playing with a lot of energy, you know, getting up and down the floor. Guys were making shots, you know, and I think it was the second media timeout. So the under 12, I think it's under 12. Yeah, under 12, they started making a run, and especially knocking down shots from the three-point line. I think they made six in the first half and two were banks. And they're not a great three-point shooting team by percentage, but they don't shoot a ton, but it is formulated in into their offense. Mm-hmm. And I know that sounds weird, but like if you watch them, you're like, all right, they have guys that are capable and willing. They don't jack them like everybody else, but it's, you know, like they're smart enough to know that you have to take some of those shots, blah, blah, blah. You get what I'm saying? Like they're modernized in their coaching thinking in regards to the three-point shot. That's what I'm trying to say. So when they make them, you're not surprised. Like as a broadcaster and somebody studied them, it's like, I'm not surprised. But if you look straight at their numbers, you're like, well, they're only shooting 34%. What's going on? It's like, well, these guys can make threes.
Yeah.
But you know, like I said, they mixed in some banks, which was funny.
Mm-hmm. It was very funny.
Yeah, because you're like, oh, come on, man. But anyway, you know, like I said, after that first or that second media timeout, the under 12, they did a good job of flipping the pace towards their, you know, style. Mm-hmm. And, you know, ended up going to halftime, you know, up three. Obviously feeling really good about themselves, playing with a lot of energy, playing through foul trouble. But I also said on the broadcast, I'm like, we need the pace to be higher, but it doesn't feel like we aren't playing well offensively. We started great, and then we had a stretch where we went 1-for-6 late in that second half, first half, yeah. Second part of the first half. But I didn't feel terrible being down three going into halftime to a team like that, even though their record is not as great, 16-12, 6-7 in conference. Mm-hmm. I knew it was going to be a tough game. They match up physically well against us, as you know. And so, you know, the wing play is good enough. Their point guard play is good enough. Traore is good enough to guard Drew inside. They got the Tiki kid that's good enough to guard Drew inside. And then they had to go, you know, I'll talk about the second half, but they had to go deeper down the bench because of foul trouble. But mm-hmm. I think it's one of those situations that it's a weird matchup for us in the sense that they don't mind playing fast, but they don't mind playing slow either. So they can play a little bit of both, and they're better defensively than people get them credit for. Really good rebounding. Excuse me. They're +6.5 on the year. So that was another issue going into that game. How are we going to handle the glass? Especially, like I mentioned, Traore is fantastic on the glass, and the Tiki guys that are kind of just throw it up and push you in the back legally, you know, mm-hmm. just style bruisers. And make things happen that way, but I don't know.
Yeah, it seemed like a very physical game. Like, and there was a lot of just. I mean,
I thought the officiating was horrible on both sides.
It
was geared towards us. We got the better. Sure. We got the way better whistle.
I mean, 28 fouls that BYU had to our 14 fouls. Mm-hmm. That's just. And it did feel very like a lot of the calls were just very ticky tacky, and like I mean, it really kept us in the game. And I will say, like. Drew Timmy, like, he's shown up at the free throw line the last couple of games. I know at the beginning of the year, we're all kind of concerned about that.
Complaining about it. You know, so we go into the second half, and, you know, they come out and had the similar type of energy, and we were staying with them. You know, it's a 3-5 point game most of that mm-hmm. Half. And then we get to about the 8-minute mark. You know, we started the second half 0-for-4 from free throws, right? Mm-hmm. And it was Anton who had a great game, but he airballed one, and we had him on after on the post game show, and because Huddy asked me, he's like, "Well, what do you do when you know?" And I was like, "I'm just gonna be honest with you, like I've never airballed a free throw in a game." And then Anton came on, and he was like, I've never done that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because it's like, we've all missed them. But like airballing one is like, oh man, I have to remember when I've done that, you know, like maybe the third grade, but like, right. You know?
Yeah.
And so like for him to do that and then come back and make two big free throws down the stretch was fantastic.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, he had 12 points, 4 or 5 from the field, 6 rebounds, 2 steals, 1 block, you know, so he played a good game, but he started 0-for-4 from the free throw line. But my point is why I'm mentioning that. We finished 26 of 34. We made 20 in a row in the second half.
Wow.
So
that's
it's a really great good. Sign. Yeah, it's an absolutely great sign for Zag fans who've been bitching about it all year, and rightfully so, because it can cost you games and cost you tournament runs, mm-hmm. all that stuff. We're starting to make them down the stretch in February, March. Knock on wood.
Knock on wood, for sure.
You know what I mean? Because, you know, hopefully the trend continues, but that was complete clutch, you know, by our guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 3-point field goals in the second half. We missed 11 straight going back to the first half, finished the game 4-6.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So clutch times, those 2 by Julian Strother down late in the game were massive 3-point field goals,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that last 10 minutes of that game was probably one of the better ones I've seen in a while in the kennel.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've had some great games. I've called some better games, but it was back and forth. Both teams had to, you know, use adjustments. Both coaches' imprints were on the game. I thought Mark Pope did an excellent job dealing with foul trouble.
Mm-hmm.
BYU was it was 5-0 fouls in the first 2.5 minutes. And I looked over at Mark Pope and he goes, we're in the lead. Like, you have to respect us. Like, how do I say this? He could have got a technical on one of them on the fourth one, the fourth foul call on Atiki, which was the fifth foul call where he rotated over. And if you jump in the semicircle, right, mm-hmm. the charge circle, they tell you if you jump, you're allowed to stay within your cylinder and chest bump as long as you're vertical. Did exactly that beep, and it was so that he lost his mind. But I thought the trail official who didn't make the call, he pushed the other guy over. He goes, I hound it, because he knew, like, well, fuck, we fucked this up. So he let him fucking chew him out. And I thought it was tremendous officiating not to tee him up right there.
Yeah.
Good officials should know, like, hey, we missed this. So, like, if the guy screams in my ear and he has a legitimate case, I take it and then I move on. Mm-hmm. I tell him to calm down, but also I go, yeah, it's like when if you fuck up at work and you know you're wrong and your boss chews you out, you take a chew in and you move on. You know what I mean? It's like normal life or at home and whatever.
Yeah, for sure.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, I've told my kids the same thing. Like, there's times when you know, like, I'm going to be upset and it's warranted and you're smart enough to know. So if I get on you, like, move on and then learn from it. You know what I'm saying?
For sure.
But it, you know, it was funny watching their reaction because I'm always like, people get, you know, when they come to our place, they, you know, always confer, you know, they always talk about, like, Duke always getting all the calls and mm-hmm. shit, like, you know, getting Krzyzewski'd, and people always talk about that. I'm like, do they feel like they get fewied or zagged when they come to the kennel? Because it was 5-0. To the officials' credit, they came back down. I think it was that, like, 2 possessions later. Remember when Julian got 2 quick ones on the same, and they called 3 in a row before the TV time. I was like, all right, fuck, we got to get this back to normal. But it was, we had a better, you know, better whistle that night.
Yeah.
And I never mind admitting that. And I'll always say when we don't, but I thought in the second half, officiating aside, we played with more aggressive. We made bigger shots down the stretch. Julian Strother had a fantastic game, 8 of 14, 4 of 9 from downtown, 6 of 7 from the free throw line, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 block, 1 steal, 26 points, but made big-time threes
mm-hmm.
That were pressure threes. And he, to be frank, he hasn't been struggling, but he had that 40, and then he's had a couple of pedestrian games. So it's like, all right, man, come on. Like, you've shown that it's not the 40, but like, go get 20 tonight, like in a big game. Like, you need guys, mm-hmm. especially on the perimeter. This is my belief. You need perimeter guys that can go get a bucket in February and March. There's going to be a game, especially when we play St. Mary's again and BYU if we play them in the tournament. Like, you can't always throw it to Drew. And then also, like, sometimes you late clock guys just have to go make a play and get a good shot off.
Yes.
And it's just basketball in general. I don't care what level it's at, girls, boys, whatever. So I thought he was, magnificent, huge down the stretch, big number, or stat that was noteworthy. I told you they had 6 threes in the first half. St. Mary's.
BYU.
BYU.
Yeah. And they only had two in the second?
Two in the second. Yeah. Hold on. I'm trying to look at the number. Yeah. So they were 1 for 8 in the second, 7 of 16 in the first.
Oh, wow.
One for eight in the second. Yeah. Then we closed down so my point is, recapping the game, we closed down the 3-point line. They were +6 on the glass in the first half. We end up winning by one. They had 5 offensive rebounds in the first half. You know what I'm saying? So like we closed those gaps down, and then it just made it more difficult for them to score. And then making free throws down the stretch were fantastic for us. We've knocked down some threes as well, timely ones, but Julian Strother was fantastic on the perimeter. Drew Timmy was good as well. He was 7-11 at 19 points, 8 assists, 7 rebounds.
Yeah, he's flirting with a triple-double.
He was flirting with a triple-double. So, yeah, it was a good game. You know, I thought it was obviously one that we needed, but it was fun to kind of have one where we dangled a win in front of them, and then we took it away, and it's like, we don't have to play you guys again, hopefully, ever again.
Yeah.
Ever again. I'm looking forward to this upcoming week. It's the last travel week for Gonzaga. As far as, conference play, we're going to LMU, which is a get back game. It's already sold out. I heard it's going to be nuts. They sold out the St. Mary's game that they won in overtime and rushed the floor. So like, I'm actually kind of happy for that program. I think that area, obviously it's LA, you're never going to get into the realm of the professional sports, but like, it's a big enough town that if you're good, people will show up.
Yeah.
Something to do.
And yeah, for sure.
You know what I mean? Like, if you lived in that area, you'd be like, yeah, let's go to a college basketball game. Like, it's a it's a really cool part of LA. It's like off the beaten path.
Yeah.
You know, in Playa del Rey, all that stuff. Like, so it's not like crazy traffic or downtown or anything like that. If you're in that area, it's like it's a small part of town, I guess. It's the best way to describe it.
I remember back in the day, like, and I don't know if this is still the case, but I mean, especially when you were playing, like, that LMU game or the LA games that were down there, like, there would always be some NBA players in the stands watching. And and it'd be cool to see some guys there for this game.
There used to be guys that, always came and because we'd play Pepperdine or, like you said, LMU. And obviously, Roni was on the team, so there'd be Lakers players. And, Mitch Kupchak always drafted Gonzaga guys, or he brought Gonzaga, like, he just liked the program, liked the style of player.
Yeah.
And like how they fit in into, so like he was always at the games regardless. It's going to be cool. That atmosphere in that gym is weird because it's like a barn, kind of shitty, not a bad way. It's right. Just so big. It's not seating wise, but it's just like large, like the tall ceiling, you know what I'm saying? So it's just kind of like a box, like a hangar. It looks like an airport hangar. So it's not like a dump, but like, you're like sitting there going, man, this is LA. Like, you guys, I hope you guys get good. And this is not trying to be like facetious or just put down, but like, hope you guys get good so you can build like a 5,000 seat arena and make it fucking cool. It's LA.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you deserve this for this type of program with the history that it's had. But Stan Johnson's done a terrific job this year. I think if they, can hold serve and maybe have a run in the tournament, they're 17-10. You got to hope for their sake that they get to 20 wins, because I think that's the mark that you have to get to. Maybe I'm wrong for the NIT.
Yeah, I'm not.
I think it's 20. I think it's 20. I know you have to be above 500, but I think maybe one of the criteria is you have to win 20 games. I'm not sure. Anyway,
yeah,
I'm rooting for LMU after we play them on Thursday night. So I'm excited for that game. It's going to be on CBS Sports, 8 p.m. game, so it's a primetime game. Obviously, we have a get back. And then, obviously, they've shown they can beat – it wasn't a one-off. They just beat St. Mary's, right? You know what I'm saying? So this club is a tough cover. Cam Shelton's a fantastic guard, having a great year this year, 21 points a game, 48% from the shooting from the field. Leah Pepe's fun to watch, different cat. looks like Charles Barkley, or plays like Charles Barkley, just mm-hmm. big Australian, New Zealand cat that's looks like a rugby player, like literally. Then it should be fun. I'm excited for that game. Hopefully we take care of business. Like I mentioned, we got to hold serve for that LMU, or I keep mixing up the teams. St. Mary's coming up on the last game of the regular season. And how great would that be for the West Coast Conference and for us to have that game actually mean something?
Mm-hmm.
And just the juice around that game would be just incredible to play for a West Coast Conference championship.
Yeah, that'd be so cool.
It's just cool
yeah.
For everybody involved. So hopefully that happens, but LMU is going to be a tough out. We got Pepperdine on Saturday. Pepperdine always plays us good there for some reason, even in the years prior with like when we had Corey and those type of crews, you know, with like NBA players, they would like be within like five in the second half and then we'd blow it open. You know, mm-hmm. a team that we used to have those teams, or not used to, is it last year, 2 years ago, mm-hmm. where we could go on like 20-0 runs. That's what I mean. So then the scoreline really wouldn't tell the tale. But for some reason, they always play us good in that gym, and it's that place. Have you ever been to Pepperdine's?
No, I haven't. No, I haven't weird. Been to any road games. I mean, for any WCC games, I'd need to get out there sometime.
Yeah, you need to. You're not missing much. They're actually breaking ground 2025, I was told. So good for them, which is hard to do. People don't realize when you're in Malibu and you want to build something.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure it's not like just going to the, you know, the permit office at the city council. Like there's some asshole that's a neighbor that's like, if you block one inch of my fucking view, I'm going to sue you guys and they can afford, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, so the fact that they're being able to build something and they've found the land, blah, 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 is great. Good for them because they deserve a new gym. Their gym's, it's weird. Like the foyer is like... So there's a concession stand and then there's just a foyer and then you literally walk through everybody to get to the locker room. And they never years they never roped it off. Nothing. So like you want to like trust people, but like people are nuts. Like,
yeah,
what if they there's so many scenarios, but like even if just people like trying to talk to you and you're like locked into a game. And then during my junior year when it was nuts, people were like grabbing me and like,
gosh.
And Fiwi used to be like kind of get pissy with people, be like to their administration, like how the fuck do you guys not have like just a row of security just so he can right. walk 20 feet to get to the floor and then you don't have to do anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And but it's just a weird atmosphere. Like
it's like a high school gym, high school gym.
Absolutely. You walk out, you go to the restroom and everything's right there. And then literally you walk, like the players are walking right by it. So like, you get these idiots or can I take a picture? It's like, fuck, dude, it's the game. Like, we're playing the game. Like, after, yeah, but like, so it's point is, like, it's good that they're building that. But hopefully, like I said, we can take care of business against LMU. It's going to be a tough one. They're a weird matchup for us. I thought Stan Johnson did an excellent job in that first game where they broke our streak of the home consecutive wins of kind of having a good plan. They slowed the game down to their pace. Cam Shelton's fantastic off of ball screen coverage. That'll be something that we have to be mindful of going forward, you know, because he put Drew in every fucking ball screen and I thought Drew did an okay job, but I think we're going to probably blitz or tag from the weak side, or even maybe I don't know if you plug and maybe I'm saying all these stuff that people doesn't make sense to people, like center field and go over and stuff like that, but the ball screen coverage will have to be different against him. If people can remember back in the game, they probably had 10 straight possessions where they just gave him the ball top of the key, wherever Drew's guy was guarding, they'd sprint up and run a ball screen and then play off of that. That's all they did, which is probably the right thing to do. And Drew could move better than he did that game.
Yeah.
And he probably knows that, but it's also something that as a staff, you're supposed to self scout. You probably go, okay, we got to figure this out. And, you know, we got to give him a better chance to have a better coverage, or I like blitzing, double teaming off of that stuff, and then rotating, but some coaches don't because it gives up. Usually, if you're any good, you give up a wide open three, but sometimes you give up wide open three to a shitty player, and that's what you want, and it makes them feel like, oh, we're getting great shots. No, you're not. You know, you're 25% three-point shooter. It's like when you press, you don't always press to get a steal. You press for them to get a throw ahead and get a good look, and
right.
if somebody's taking a shitty shot early in the clock and they miss, and their bench going, great shot, 17 footer wide open. It's like, yeah, you didn't run any offense, and it's not your best player taking it.
Right.
And, you know, yeah. Blah, blah, blah. So there's always those type of situations.
I'm very curious to see what this LMU game is going to be like, just because, like, it is weird to see their schedule and see them, you know, beating St. Mary's, beating us at home, but then, like, losing to San Diego.
It's the West Coast Conference, dude. It's fucking bananas every time. It is.
And it's great. I was kind of having not an argument with a friend, but I was, like, just kind of telling them, they're like, well, I feel like Gonzaga's not doing as well this year because, you know, like, the teams in the WCC are, like, really sticking it to them. I'm like, this is what we want. And we talk about this every episode. And I'm like, but this is what we want. Like, we want to be able to, like, we want to play with these teams, and we want them to rise to our level.
Yes.
And it shocks me every time when people are just like, no, I want something different. I want to be dominant. And I'm just like, well,
it's not fun dominant. It isn't.
It's not fun at all.
It's not fun. How boring has been, you know, some of the last few years? Like, obviously we're just talking West Coast Conference.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I call the games, and sometimes I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah.
40. I mean, like, it'll be 40 within, you know, 12 minutes to go in the second half. You're like, this is horrendous.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, how are you, anybody listening or watching this game? Like, even a boop.
Yep.
Goodbye. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, oh, there's Married with Children's on, I'll watch that, or just something. You'll be like, this, I'm not watching this right now. It's terrible.
I think it's just a very much we're prisoners of our own success.
Yeah.
And I think as we've become so successful, we've always just expected, well, now we're just going to run away with the WCC every year.
Yeah.
And that's what, you know, like, regular fans think of. And then when we aren't killing people, then that's when, like, sky is falling.
Yeah, like, it's, yeah, we don't have a chance. First four out. That's whatever. I've seen people write that. It's like, we're not even gonna. It's like, dude, right now Lenardi has us as a 3 or 4 or 5 seed, but which at the start of the year, I would have guaranteed 3-4, 3-5 is what I.
Yeah.
It's what I said. I swear to God.
But we're so used to getting that 1 seed.
3-5.
We're so used to getting 1
seed.
My team is
a 3 seed.
Yeah.
And we were plumb happy, and we should have won a game to go to the Elite Eight. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're going to have to beat teams anyway. So it's like, yeah, I don't understand it. But again, we are lucky, honestly, that we have a fan base that cares and gives a shit.
Yeah, that's so true.
It's true, because you go to some programs where they're scratching and clawing, they'll be good, and nobody cares. It's a football school, or you're in a big market. So what have you. So I always have to check myself a little bit on that. It's like, all right, well, these people are engaged, and they, you know, we have enough to where we can do a recap show.
Right.
I mean, you know what I'm saying?
For sure.
Like, there's actual, you know, care and want for this club. And I think this club is heading in the right direction, honestly. Like, I know we've had, you know, the loss to St. Mary's and LMU, but it's like, again, at the start of the year, I would have never said undefeated WCC season, no matter what I thought of the guys, how much I like them, how much they've improved. I'm like, there's no way we're going undefeated. I would have said 1-3 losses.
Yep.
And we're at 2. And so I'm just like, we're right where we're at, guys. And we've improved on some of the areas that we were really poor on at the start of the year that were really, like, scary. The turnover issue was awful at the start of the year. Remember how bad it was?
It was so bad. Yeah.
It was terrible. Mm-hmm. Like, when we couldn't function in big time games, and it was kind of embarrassing for, you know, just being a fan and it's not a knock on the kids, but it's like, fuck, man, we're like, these turnovers are, like, really shitty. Like, these are like high school turnovers. Like, you can't throw the ball into your teammate, like, on a V cut and get open. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Come on, man, you know, or, you know, getting pressed and sailing it over his head. It's like, that's, come on. Like, you can have the ones where you're turning the corner and maybe you pick up a charge or whatever. You're trying to dump down and hit a guy. Like, those are okay. You can live with those. But the fucking ones we had at the start of the year were so bad. And then the rebounding has gotten better. We just talked about the free throws. It's trending in the right direction.
Yeah.
You know, defensively, defensively, we still have to be better. Numbers wise, we're not bad, but how do I say this without sounding like a, you know, like a narcissist, but like, for my basketball trained eye, we're making a lot of mistakes that sometimes don't get taken advantage of by the other clubs, but it's like, oh shit, like, how are we making these mistakes? this late in the year. Like there's some coverage things. Like if, here's an example. Like we've had some coverage ones where, without giving it away, they're cover. You know, because I start learning like what we call stuff on the sideline, but we call the defense. Think of us four, and I'm pretty sure I know what it is. And there was two possessions where we were supposed to switch with certain guys and not, and we did the opposite. And Coach Fuse just literally like turns around, looks at the assistants, and it's shit like that. It's like, dude, we're in February. Like you fucking, your only excuse is you couldn't hear me, but everybody should be like this running down the floor. You know what I mean? Yeah. And then your point guard running down the floor should be like whatever defense you're whatever, in, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And it's shit like that where I'm like, man, we got to get better at that. Cause that, and Fuey's right. When he turns around, he's like, what the fuck? You know, cause he's not used to that.
Yeah.
This late in the year.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, man, like I think this club is right where they projected to be. And it's not a knock. It's like, they're playing good basketball. We're growing. Guys are making plays. So what? We're not going to be the number one overall seed and get to play in Portland.
Yeah,
you know, whatever.
We have some. There's some good West Coast options this year. That,
what are they?
I think it's Sacramento, Denver, and Portland, I believe.
Denver's number one in my book. Portland or Sacramento is kind of a coin flip, I guess. But Denver, I love Denver. Denver's a cool city.
Yeah.
But the West Coast, like some people, I think Lenardi, somebody told me they had us in Albany. I was like, holy shit. I know. I'm like, it's a long ass trip and, you know, the time change. And I'm just not, you know, I'm talking from our team perspective.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the time change stuff gets scary because shit, when we played Texas Tech my sophomore year, we played at, I think, 11 their time and it was like fucking 9 a.m. our time. And nobody ever talks about stuff like that. You know what I mean? So it matters.
Yeah, it's been a long time since we've got a really bad
location
like on the East Coast or something like that.
I honestly think the tournament now, the NCAA does a better job of trying to regionalize it for clubs too. Not always, but I think they try to save costs, and I think that's the right thing to do for all universities, you know, because not everybody's a state school. And just think of a program, this is a shout out. Eastern Washington's playing fantastic this year. They had the longest win streak in the country.
Yeah.
Hopefully they win their conference tournament because you have to win your conference tournament pretty much in the Big Sky to get in.
Right.
You're not going to get out large.
Yeah.
Hopefully they win. But like a club like that, who literally like 3 years ago voted to remove sports and it was close.
Mm-hmm.
Like you can't send them across the fucking country. Like you got to send them to Portland and even as a 14 seed or whatever. So they don't have to break the damn bank. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, so I think the NCAA does that more than people realize.
Yeah.
Like it does affect, you know, the matchups, but it's sometimes, they're trying to, the counter to that, it's like, well, the NCAA will pay for your trip. It's like, it's still the time and for your fans to get there, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, and anyway. I misspoke. There are, in the round one, the two West Coast places are Denver and Sacramento. There is no Portland.
Yeah.
The furthest west after that is Des Moines.
Hmm.
So like everything else is East Coast.
Is there Orlando's in there?
Orlando's in there. Birmingham, Columbus.
I heard Birmingham's nice too. And then Orlando's always, can't beat that.
And then Albany is one of them. And then, I think I already said Greensboro. So it's a lot of East Coast places this year. But I did have a listener question and it was a really interesting question. In these close games that we've been playing, the adjustments that we've been making, someone pointed out that back when Tommy was, you know, the assistant, like he would usually help with that in the close games.
Mm-hmm.
And now since, you know, Tommy's gone it's been 2 years. Like, is that like making adjustments on the bench, like with Tommy? I don't really know, because I don't really know what Tommy did on the bench, but like, the guy who pointed it out was just like, oh, that is interesting. Like these closer games, we are not playing as well because we don't have the experience. Maybe. I don't know.
This is going to be a multi thought answer, I guess.
Yeah.
So Tommy was very good at late game situation, X and O's. That's why he's been great at Arizona. We all knew that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the reason why we're not as good late game is because we don't have any like pros.
Right.
So I don't think it's because Tommy left, because I think Brian Michelson is literally what Tommy is X and O wise.
Okay.
Because like Tommy, Tommy brought Brian along.
Okay.
Saw himself, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. In the later date, once Tommy got his feet established here, it was like, okay, that's what I was. So like X's and O wise, I don't think there's a drop off late game.
Yeah.
I think if there is on the periphery, it's because we don't have an Andrew Nembhard or Jalen Suggs or a Chet Holmgren.
Yeah.
I really mean that.
Yeah, no, that's true. I mean,
so that's a very thought out and like well constructed question that's like deeper than why isn't Gonzaga make free throws? Some dumbass shit that someone's, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But for real, because it made me think, and I was like, okay, how do I answer this correctly so I don't, you know, mischaracterize somebody's ability, but also like, it's because there's better players on the floor.
Yeah. Yeah. And that means
that's not a knock, but it's like NBA guys and maybe NBA guys down the road. Mm-hmm. It's a big difference in a 2-year gap.
It's a very big difference.
You know what I'm saying?
And that when you were asking about like late game situations or not, we were talking about like who's taking the last shot. I mean, obviously if it's a 2-point game, you want Drew Timmy taking it.
Yeah.
But if it was a, you know, a 3-point game, like who do you want shooting a 3?
I think you can do that in feel of the game.
Yeah.
I know that sounds funny, but like who's rolling? That's a real thing.
Yeah.
Obviously Julian would be your first candidate in my opinion, and then Malachi, but I think you run like a high ball screen action with a you know, a situation where you have to put a defender in a scenario where he has to help.
Mm-hmm.
And then a wide pin down off of that or something like that with a curl and a pop back.
Yeah,
but you have so many options, but you want to give Nolan an opportunity too in that ball screen action if they go under, because he made a big one against Santa Clara down there.
That's true.
Remember that one? You know, so he's shown that he made one down at St. Mary's when he was playing like dog shit, and he made that 3 to get us back in the game.
Yeah.
Remember that one?
Yeah. And I will say that's a cool thing about this team is that all of our starters, and I would even say like Hunter, are capable of making.
He hit the biggest one in BYU, that corner 3 where they like, and it was one of those where he had to shoot it.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is like there's certain situations where like sometimes if you're not a great 3-point shooter, you can take an extra dribble and give it to somebody else. Like, no, that was swing. You're fucking wide ass open. There's a minute left. I got to shoot this. And he buried it.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's a very good point though. Like obviously Drew would be the candidate to throw it in and play off of him. But I think Julian's your first go to, and then Malachi would probably be your second, but there's enough good players that you can run actions where even you put like a Ben Gregg in to be your screener. So then if they do help with the screener, he can pop and make a 3, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, great show today. Thanks for, hanging out before your trip. Fun, man. Are you the type that works on the road too, or do you throw everything? You know what I'm saying?
I'll have to work a little bit. I'm a one man show here, so it's kind of like I'll do some clips for the show. I'll do some other things, but yeah, and I'll watch the Gonzaga games and drink in some Mai Tais.
A good thing is the helicopter ride. We did it. The blue, whatever the deal is. But if you can, like, sometimes you can find the resort deals.
Yeah.
I took my girls on. It was cool. And they give you this little zip drive. So they put cameras on you so you can rewatch it, and they put music to it. And then they have the audio of the pilot. But it's really cool. A little bit spendy. But if you can find a resort, like sometimes the resorts will give you like 20% off.
Yeah.
And that matters when it's because they're like $200 a piece, but you're like, it's a memory thing.
It's a very, very much. Like the kids would, they're 7 and they would love it.
Yeah. My daughters were 11 and 7, I think, if my math's right. Yeah. 11 and 8. So they were like grin ear to ear. I was cool for a day.
Yeah. That's
all
cool.
That stuff. So think about that, but yeah, thanks for all the sponsors for listening. Thank you for everybody listening. Hopefully we come back and we're talking about a huge matchup with St. Mary's coming up, you know, for the league title. But thanks again for listening. Let's do it again.